Hello. Welcome. Again. We made it episode 3. Here we are, chugging along.
Yep.
To Mike to Mike podcast from Game Clubs.
I don't want to alarm you, but we are in a post Metal Gear Solid world
now. Yeah, I know we are.
There aren't any more Kojima Metal Gears coming out.
We do promise that we will eventually talk about something else other than Metal Gear, but you know, it's just.
But what else can you talk about?
Right now, like, that's where we're at. That's been our month.
Yeah.
So I mean, you haven't finished it yet.
No.
I'm not sure if I've finished
there's
it.
There's not going to be huge spoilers.
Yeah.
But there are going to be some
dance
spoilers
around a lot of stuff, especially me. I'm trying to be very careful not to ruin anything for Mike, because I'm freaking
I am
going to
openly talk about how far I am into the game, so if you really don't want to know anything about the game, stop listening.
Which
or
is,
listen, but just
I have to say that I was so removed from all of the hype and, well, I mean, I was invested in the hype, but all of the trailers and everything until this came out, so I knew nothing about the game, and I wouldn't have mind, like, there hasn't been so much in the story that if I had seen some of these scenes beforehand, it would have removed me. But I still get that purist feeling.
Yeah. Certain stuff I don't want to know. Certain stuff I don't mind knowing. Like, Rick spoiled something for me earlier that I don't even know if you know about, so I don't know if I should even say it. Apparently it's something that not everybody can find. But it's a really
the
weird moment.
Silent... Is that... technically spoilers?
Oh, well, the Silent Hill thing where you hear it on the radio, you're talking about?
So, I've heard that there's two Silent Hill Easter eggs in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, you know, that comes after our little spoiler warning, but if you consider that. So, there's a radio somewhere that plays the...
I found the radio.
Okay.
It's,
and then...
It's right before you fight the man on fire when you find the little kid in, like, the weird messed up, like, medical place where everybody's got, like, the weird, gross, like, boils on their chest.
Yeah.
It's the radio playing the stuff from P.T.,
yes, yeah.
And I noticed that, like, too, because I was crawling through. He's like, oh, and there was a father who killed his, like, kid.
And you're
his
like,
wife.
Oh, wow, that
like,
sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. That's from P.T. But this involves a character coming back that is dead. Should I just say it?
You know what? We're going to give, like, spoiler alert, and why don't you just, let me know.
Apparently Paz is still alive.
Okay, I didn't even get that far, so that's news
to me. But you did get that far.
But I did. But I passed that.
Apparently, you can go into the medical bay, and then it triggers a cutscene where, like, Snake just walks by and pauses, like, in one of the recovery units, and then it flashes back to what really happened, and I guess Snake just misremembered it or something like that.
So that brings me into maybe a good transition to something I wanted to talk about is how are you using Mother Base? Because I've been loving the management feature of it and all of that. I found it a little cumbersome, mainly because of the load times to constantly go back.
You're coming into the helicopter and then you land on the deck.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
you actually have to move to where
you
you
know,
go.
There's certain areas that, so I didn't even know to think to go to the medical bay. And then
I didn't know you could go inside.
Yeah. And this is one of my only larger complaints. I don't see why they made the gaps between the bases a mile
Those
and a half
massive,
long.
Yeah.
Like, for apparently no reason. Like, the first time I built something, it was way outside of the base, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know why. That must be as far as it goes, and then they're going to fill in the gap. No, that's just...
Well, it's funny, because you start with the main base, and then you add stuff to it, and then there's they add another platform where it's, like, a bunch of, like, shipping containers, but it's right next to the main base. But that's the only one that's
I mean, that
like
would be
that,
so helpful if the whole thing was like that. I mean, it's cool, I guess, when you're flying in and you see this whole compound that you've been building upon, and it kind of sets up, it sets up, you know, Zanzibar land, and like, okay, I mean, I can see Big Boss is really building his army now.
Yeah.
It's he's got something going, but...
I think what it is that I haven't messed with the forward operating base stuff yet, because the servers
the servers are still down, not a perfect game, but...
No, definitely not. But... The way I understand it is, I think...
I'm back. All
right. The way I understand it is, I think the forward operating base is kind of like another mother base. So I think the reason why they're so spread apart is because if you infiltrate somebody's forward operating base, they don't want you to be able to get to the whole
thing. Just get the whole thing. So that you
so
actually
just go
to
one platform. Yeah. That's the case, that makes sense.
But yeah, I was... And that's all right. So there's the car, you know, the Jeep. I don't know. Can you get better vehicles that are faster?
I don't know. I don't know if you can get faster ones, and I don't know if you can even get like the covered, like the trucks. But
yeah.
I can get the Jeeps.
So you know, I was like, all right. So this isn't that fast. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You can take the helicopter.
Yeah.
And get in the helicopter, and it it flies me around the base that I'm at twice. Yeah. It like it circles around the central station. Before. I'm like, dude, this is a helicopter. Just go.
Yeah, the first time I did that, I'm like, I don't know if this is faster. I shouldn't have driven. Like, at least you just go in a straight line.
I don't need a tour of my own base. I built it. I know everything.
I mean, it is kind of a cool thing that Mother Base exists in this one, because my biggest problem with Peace Walker is you spend all this time building Mother Base.
Which you can't.
But you just see an aerial view of it, and you're like, man, it'd be cool to like go down there and walk around. Just
it is really cool. So hopefully over time, and and again, I don't even know if I'm really done with the game, but they flesh it out even more, and there become more things to do there.
I will say, there's somebody on Mother Base that if I ever find this jerk, I'm going to fire him immediately. Because every time I come back from a mission, I'm covered in blood, like, sweating, like, saw some terrible atrocity. And then every time I land, there's an anime girl poster right by the looking deck. I'm like, what is this? There's no anime on Mother Base. And, I, like,
and you rip
it
down, but it comes back.
Yeah, you get $500. And every time I land, it's back there. I'm going to find who keeps putting that up there, and I'm going to fire him. Like, I'm going to fault recovery him into the sun, because, good God, I don't want that stuff on my Mother Base.
Fault and recovery is phenomenal. Yeah.
It's such a good, it's such a Metal Gear thing that, like...
It can be overused a little. So, not even talking about it from a gameplay perspective, but, yeah, it just, it fits, but it doesn't. I mean, it's so ridiculous, but I love it. I mean, when I Fulton recovered the puppy, I think I almost died.
Yeah.
Because you just sit, they love it how it sits in front of you for, like, a full second, so...
And you're just looking at it, you're like, oh, what's going to happen?
I had the horse, you know, the horse was, like, eating grass or something one time, and it just, like, looks up, like, what's up? And then, and it just zips into the air.
I mean, I think that's what's funny about Metal Gear, and I'm so glad that Metal Gear kind of kept this tradition of, like, this one's arguably the most serious out of all of them. Like, I've seen the most shocking things in this one.
Yeah,
but then you also have these weird moments of, like, you know, like, funny things. Like, you can make your horse poop on commands.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a serious thing. It's like banana peels, and you can make cars spin out.
Is that how do you use it? Because I haven't actually used it.
What you can do is you make
them
poop on the ground, like, on a road, and then if a truck drives over it in the right way, it'll spin out.
Well, that's fantastic. I think I'm going to spend an hour trying to do that.
Yeah.
And be satisfied with my time.
And it's funny because the first time I found out I could do that, I'm like, all right, poop. And then I'm like, all right, that's pretty funny. So I go infiltrate a base, and I'm all the way across. Like, I'm a half mile away from, like, D-Horse. And I look at him through the binoculars. I'm like, is he still there? I'm like, yeah, there he is. I'm like, all right, poop. And then I just see his tail lift, and he poops. I'm like, how can I do this from a half a mile away? Like,
what a well-trained horse.
It's such a good, like, oh, my God. And then now I've got him upgraded, so he's got armor on. So he's got, like, a little face shield on.
Yeah,
so.
I don't like the shield. Because I'm trying to get to the next stage.
Really stupid looking.
Yeah, it does look really stupid looking. Yeah. I wanted him to look super battle-hardened.
And you got like, obviously, you got D-Dog, and you upgraded him and gave him, like, armor, too, right?
Yeah, he's got the sneaking suit.
He gets the dog goggles.
He gets a knife, too. So when you give him the kill command...
Incredible.
It's really cool.
He pulls it out of his shoulder and his mouth.
It's so nice.
And he pounces on people. The one bad thing about the game that's actually a great thing is I love all the buddies equally. Like, they're all
You don't
really
know how
good.
To use your time with what, you know.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, I got Quiet, and Quiet's really good for scouting and stuff like that, and she's gotten to the point where she's really good in a firefight. But then also, D-Dog's really handy for, like, you
picking
know,
out enemies. He's just,
like
he can find
out
so
everybody.
Many.
Yeah. So he's not really for cover. He's more of, like, you know, your special companion.
Right.
And D-Horse, obviously, it makes it a lot easier.
Great transportation,
around.
Especially in, when, like, Afghanistan, when you really can't take some of the vehicles and a lot
of... Yeah, well, when you start, you don't have any trucks or anything.
True, yeah. I mean, it took me a while to level up Mother Base to be able to Fulton Recovery the Jeeps to begin with.
Yeah. And, you know, D-Walker I haven't really messed with yet, because...
Yeah,
it's
neither
kind of
have
the
I.
odd man out, because I don't play like that.
Yeah.
But I am going to start messing around with it. I'm upgrading it before I use
I've
it.
I've played around with it a lot for two missions, and it can sort of be used for stealth, believe it or not. I mean, like, because you can kind of quietly...
I've seen the upgrades,
But, yeah, it's definitely... And when you're traveling fast in it, the steering gets very off. And I think that's
I
a design
imagine,
choice because they don't want it to be overpowered. So you can't slam on the brakes. So if you're flying and you get spotted, you can't just hit the brakes
stop,
and then...
Turn around,
right, which helps balance out not using it all the time and abusing it. But there are a few missions, especially the ones where you have to attack, like, convoys or things like that, where it's helpful to have.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, with like the Gatling gun and the missile launchers and stuff.
Yeah.
So the buddies, I really like the buddy system. What's funny is I thought Quiet was going to be like D-Dog, where she kind of roughly followed you around. So the first time I used her, it was a really small mission in Africa where it was, like, right off the helicopter, and she went to right where I would expect her to go, and it worked fine. And then the next mission was, like, in Afghanistan or something. And I go, like, let's say we're looking at the map. I go right, and then she, like, bolts off left. And she's sitting there. I'm like, why isn't she following me? Like, what is going on? Like, she's not following me. Like, what is So I finish the whole mission, and I get back on the helicopter, and she pops up. I'm like, oh, so nice of you to join me now, finally. Like, what were you doing over there?
Did you eventually figure out, like, the placement? You have to choose where you want her to go.
And that's fine. That works fine, because you're not really... You're not really ordering her around on the fly. You kind of set her up to, like, overlook what you're doing. And then, like, once you're done, you're like, all right, move to the next area. Like, scout while I get there. And then when I get there, everything will be scouted.
There's a mission, without spoiling much, but just to outline, like, the concept of it, where you have to trail somebody, and then he meets someone, and you have to listen to their conversation, and you're kind of in a...
Is that the arms dealer guy?
Yes.
Yeah. This actually brings up a really, like... Arguably one of the best things about the game is the stories it creates.
Yeah. The way that you played it versus the way that I played it. Or
because I think I told you on that mission, I was playing it normally, and then something, I guess Quiet was there, and she scouted something, and she saw a prisoner. And I had no idea prisoners were in this mission, so I'm like, oh, I gotta get them, because I don't want to leave them behind. But that's not part of the mission, and I don't want to get spotted, because if you get spotted, he just, like, freaks out and runs. So I'm like, oh, what can I do? So I sneak up behind the house, and I sneak through the window, and I've got him over my shoulder, but there's a guy in front of the door, and I'm like, how the hell am I going to get, like, out of here without getting spotted? And then I'm like, wait a minute. I know you can throw. Let me see if I can throw. And so I throw him out the window. He just goes perfectly out the window, hop out the window, grab him, and just run away and fold him. I'm like, perfect. Man, that works so good. And I think that's the big draw of the game is, like, everything works great. Like, there's no times that I felt like I've really wrestled with the controls.
So, I'm just going to take that as, like, a brief second to pause and say, this is not a perfect game. There's a lot of stuff that I could go off about, but so many of the better things just outweigh any of the stuff that's kind of taking me away from it. So, for the rest of this, I think I'm just going to... We're both still on this hype train.
Yeah.
No one brought us on board. We just... Yeah. We're Metal Gear through and through fans. The controls are so unbelievably tight. Just the way that you transition in between crouching and crawling, that slow, I mean,
gets down, like,
you feel like you are tuned into this game.
Yeah. And especially, like, it's kind of funny because since we're so used to the new consoles now, it's hard for me to tell if a game looks really great or not. And so I know, like, you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, this game's absolutely, like, it looks beautiful. It's such a good looking game. But then I forget that how good it looks, and then I'll go play, like, a PS3 game for a little bit because I have to do something else. And then I go back to playing Ground Zeroes. I'm like, oh, my God, this looks incredible. Yeah. Like, the graphics are so good on this.
I think there's certain – it might be the weather system.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a few areas that got more detail than others. Like, there's a few points where I was playing, and I'm like, this looks good. There were two parts of Afghanistan.
I don't like the way fog looks. Like, yeah. It's just kind of there.
Yeah,
know?
It's like a graininess to the screen.
Yeah.
But some of the mountain ridges in Afghanistan are just stunning. And then there's two or three heavily populated jungles in Africa that look just like with the way that the sun is beating through.
Yeah,
and, but there's a lot of the Africa parts that are kind of barren and have...
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, and that's kind of on purpose because, I mean, it's Africa. I mean, it's
and that kind of... That was something else I wanted to bring up was the size of the maps.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, I like how big it is.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot of traveling time.
There's a lot of traveling time, you know, which is kind of an issue because I don't know if there's a way, and maybe I'm doing it wrong, but I always was under the impression that you could call the helicopter, get on it, and then immediately go to a new area. But I don't know how to do that. I can do that on Mother Base.
Right.
I can't do it.
I haven't done that on that. I have stayed...
Yeah.
In the area, and then traveled on foot to the different mission.
Yeah.
So I know that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I've found that I started filling the travel time while playing some of the cassettes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, a good way. But the problem is then you can't hear... I mean, you get that white circle thing to know if someone's been spotting you, but, you know, audio is a big part of the stealth of this game.
Yeah, especially
so.
Moving around, like, bases and stuff, you have to pay attention to your surroundings.
Which, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a huge consequence if you get outed when you're en route somewhere. And
no,
because
you know it's just, if you're going to get far away, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to tip anybody off, really.
But, yeah, so, I mean...
But I do like the things that they don't explain as far as, like, moving around, like... I didn't know until, like, several hours in that you could blow up those radar dishes that are spinning. and that'll stop the air radar, so you can land.
And
closer.
You can use a different. Yeah, you have it.
You can blow up the other dishes, and then it stops their communication to other bases.
I blew up a few of them, and they told me that, but I didn't really understand what it meant until I looked at the map, and I finally noticed. It's like, oh, I didn't have this as a landing zone before. There are more landing zones, and then I was like, oh my god, I could have been blowing these up for the longest time.
I think that's such a better way to address the whole tower thing with a
from like Assassin's Creed kind
of
like
it's like, well, if you want to get move around early, you got to get to the top of the tower. Well, like, everybody does that now.
I'm happy they didn't tell me exactly because I would have spent so much time seeking them out, and instead it just kind of organically
it
got
just
built
kind of
into
happens
the
where I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I've got the C4 and I want to see, can I blow this up? And then you do it and you're like, I can totally blow this up. Like, I learned that about guard towers, too. I'm like, oh, wow, when you blow up guard towers, it looks cool. Like, it tumbles over and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
oh, and a lot of stuff I didn't think was destructible, and it turned out to
it
be.
It is, yeah.
And the C4 turned out to be a huge help with, like, causing diversions.
Yeah.
I'd put it on
yeah.
stuff that I didn't even really need to blow up or just on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many stories that I probably have and you have from missions that you were playing
so
where,
fun,
you know, you had, like, so many people around you, and you detonated this piece of C4 you planted, like, 30 minutes ago, and then everyone turns to look at it, and you just sneak past. I mean, I had so many moments like that. It was great.
Well, it's funny because, like, there are so many moments like that, but there's some weird disconnect, and I actually like this. Like, I think it speaks to the character where, like, I'll do this crazy mission where I was going to go in stealthily, and then they catch me, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to go in guns blazing because I don't want to do this over again. Like, I'm not a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And then so you do the mission, you've got, like, whatever you need. Like, you got the guy on your back, and you're just, like, bloody and raw, and you're just, like, running away and waiting for the chopper. And you jump on the chopper, and there's been so many times where I see Big Boss get on the chopper. I'm like, man, Big Boss is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, not me, even though I did all the things. It's like, man, Big Boss, I love that guy. He's so cool.
And
like, he does all this cool stuff.
I don't know if you would try to time the chopper en route. Like,
I
would stop.
I
got really good at it where I would be able to, you know, hit the marker before I got there, and it arrives like almost at the same time.
It's a better system than they use in Ground Zeroes, because when you called the chopper in Ground Zeroes, it would leave after a certain time, like after like 10 or 15 seconds.
This leaves, but not after like minutes.
It
takes a while.
It takes a while, And then it's like very close if you try to call it back in route. Like,
It stays actively in the game. Like, it will leave the map, but it takes the same time to leave as it does to come in.
I think the one big problem I have with the game, which isn't necessarily huge, is I like the idea that every main mission starts with credits. And it says, like, starring, like, Venom Snake and
at first I was against it. Then I was towards it. Now I'm not sure.
Well, the problem I have with it is one of the missions, I usually don't pay attention to the credits, but one of the credits I actually paid attention to, and it was just a regular mission. It's like starring like Venom Snake, Miller, Ocelot, the Skull Unit. I'm like,
you're like, oh,
wait,
it looks like I'm fighting the
so
Skulls.
Now, so now the Skulls are going to be in this. So how is this, like, this sucks. And then when they come out, they act like it's a big surprise. Like, oh, they're in the back of that truck. Oh, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
see, I was totally shocked when I didn't.
Yeah.
I started. And, I mean, I kind of like, it's kind of set up like, we know that Kojima could do movies, and that's, like, where it's hard. It looks like he kind of tried to take a TV approach almost to this.
Well, I heard it on another podcast, but somebody's, like, on the subject of everyone credit having, every mission having credits, he's like, all right, we get it, Kojima, you love the show 24.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's set up like that.
It was excessive. I mean, I don't know how else to dance around it. It didn't need...
Every mission doesn't need end credits.
At least you can skip them. You can hit...
Yeah,
you can
easily skip them, and it's immediate. It doesn't
it
go
doesn't
to the
load
or anything like that, so that's fine.
Yeah. Because, you know, I took time off. I took a day off to play this game because I just want... So I'm powering through this game.
Yeah.
Now, the credit sequence would be great if you were... playing it in chunks, you know?
Yep.
I'm just going to do a mission tonight.
You're just doing a mission,
but
and you just want
when
to
you're vested in
this
story...
next,
and maybe
next,
that's why the story was kind of... That was something else we were talking about earlier. It's very segmented and separated.
Yeah.
And the gameplay is
yeah.
so good that it supports the game on its own, but Metal Gear is such a story-driven game.
Yeah. See, my line of thought here was when I first got the game, I was like, man, there is not a lot of story in this game. Like, I don't know if I really like this. And then I got to... I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter that there's not a lot of story because, like, the gameplay is just so solid. It's so nice. Like, it's so fun to just move around the areas and do what you want to do. But then, like, the more I think about it, I'm like, well, we kind of know what's going to happen in the story. We know Big Boss is going to turn into a villain. We just don't really know how. So it's not necessarily, like, the end of the world that, you know, there's not a massive story to it. Because in a way, we kind of know what's going to happen.
mean, well, it's funny because you still haven't finished it. I know. And again, yeah. I've been saying this before.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I finished it.
Yeah.
But I hope that there's still more that I'm still working on because there are a lot of questions still that I don't have. I mean, it did a good job of telling the Skullface story and, you know, introducing a new issue and problem that, you know, you have to solve and then concluding that. But this was really this had to be the the fill in the gaps story.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure yet. And again, I haven't finished. So there's mission structures to the game.
Yeah.
I'm on mission 33, 4. And there's a very large event. And this is mainly for me, not spoiling anything to you.
That
takes place, I think, on mission 30 or 31 or something like that.
Yeah.
That could be possibly the conclusion to the game.
I want to say it goes further than that.
I almost know that it does for what they show during the sequence, and I'm just dancing around it because I just want you to experience it the way that I did because I stood up and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
I want to say what happens is you do all the main missions and eventually the story transfers to a bunch of side missions.
Kind of. That's but, what I mean, not heard. The side quest ones, or the side ops, because they're still main missions.
Yeah.
At first, I played two new ones, and then I replayed that convoy one from the beginning of Afghanistan, and it just said that you couldn't use a lot of different things, and that it was highlighted that the difficulty was higher. But I know that it's building up that to other main story missions that weren't in the first half of the game.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, I just know that from
when you tell me this, it sounds really confusing. I'm like,
I know
what the hell is.
I know. I'm just because you just got to get through.
But that's the thing, yeah. Because like I was worried at first because like I'd heard people are, oh, it's very light on story, but it seems like every reviewer that has played it is like legitimately they genuinely enjoy the game. Like, oh no, yeah, the story was fine. Like I heard, like there was again from the same podcast, one of the guys was like, well, I knew I wasn't gonna have time to sit down and play the game. So I just asked a guy, a representative I know who knows the game, like, what happens exactly, just to tell me all the story beats, just in case I couldn't do it. And he's like, and that just makes me want to play the game more, because it's I want to see how that story works in the game.
I think the way that it was designed is almost two stories written on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the story of this game, and then the story of Big Boss as a character, and how he integrates and centers around the Metal Gear universe.
Yeah.
The story of the game is for all the people that want to play the main missions and get that and complete that. And then if you really want to seek out everything else, you have to do the side ops, you have to do the extra missions, you have to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's a bad thing. I mean, way that...
Peace Walker was kind of like that as well, where you could get a soft ending and then a hard ending. Where it's just kind of like, all right, you've done it, you got the main story, but then if you keep playing, there's a very firm ending where it's like, all right, this is the true ending.
I might feel differently about the game when I get to the quote-unquote true ending, and if there even is something else,
hard ending,
you know.
Yeah.
But I'm confident that there's something that I haven't seen, and I, you know, so.
Yeah.
I had a long game.
But speaking of stories, and I think this is actually something that almost turned me off from the game at first because it's such a departure of, like, the themes and, like, the way that previous Metal Gears worked. But the very beginning when you start in the hospital is very effective. And it's very upsetting to watch because it's very graphic and very violent.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, totally so different from every other Metal Gear. And that's kind of setting the tone for the rest of the game because a lot of it is kind of just him being tortured and him, you know, like, seeing this horrible stuff. But to just start with, like, oh, hey, you've been in a coma. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know this part.
Here's your body. Here's what you look like.
Here's an x-ray of your body, and it's just riddled with these little white specks of, like, shrapnel. It's like, oh, and I figure I'm going to show you the x-ray first, but see, you're missing an arm. It's like, go ahead and look. And he looks.
And he's just freaking out. Yeah,
missing. It's just a stump. And he starts hyperventilating. And then when you move around, like, you're shirtless, and he's so emaciated. And
I'm happy that they did that.
Yeah,
so
it
happy
was
because
such a shock. Yeah.
When it was upsetting to watch. It was difficult to push him through that.
Yeah.
But so many games have done the coma thing before, and then
obviously
different like weight to the game. But Wolfenstein, it's like, oh hey, you were in a coma for 14
years.
You were ripped, and you're just like ready to kill Nazis.
Well,
I mean, no, you're getting dragged on the floor. Yeah. And I mean, it's not real. Obviously, you wouldn't have made it as far as you did.
From what I understand about comas, and especially if you were in one for 9 years, it would take months and months.
Right. So, I mean, they didn't. That's not a fun video game.
Yeah.
But they at least did a tip of the hat where you've got no. You're not the American muscle hero.
Yeah.
You don't have ripped muscles. And
well, not only that, but I was really impressed with how he wakes up, he doesn't say anything. And then it flashes forward to, like, you know, 2 weeks later. And I'm like, okay, like, that's still not enough time, but that's, I'm glad they actually addressed that.
Acknowledge that this isn't tomorrow.
You don't just wake up from a coma
feeling
great.
Right, yeah.
Like, and I thought that was such, like, especially when he, the one thing which is weird, and I'm pretty sure it's just making the multiplayer character, which I kind of wish they didn't put in, was when he's like, we're going to have to reconstruct your face.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to play as.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to play as some dork.
But then you don't see it again.
Boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that does tie back into the story. I was doing some reading last night.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fan speculation, I think, at this point.
Well, because they haven't released the multiplayer yet.
Right, but not just that. I think that there's a part of the story,
mm-hmm.
And I'm tentative to even say how or what or why, but that becomes relevant.
That might come back,
That becomes very relevant.
I kind of figured that. I mean, I made my guy look cool, but I didn't want to play the game as that guy.
I just try to make him look like Snake as much as possible.
Well, and the only other thing that I'm really bummed out about, because I think it was saying, what do you want your multiplayer name to be? And I'm assuming once they start the multiplayer, they'll give you an option to change it.
Yeah,
but they're like, what's your name? And I'm like, Mike. And it's like, what's your birthday? June 22nd. And then when it's like, make your face, I'm like, should I restart the game?
If you go to Mother Base on your birthday, apparently they have a little party for you.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I made my name David.
Yeah.
Or Dave, because I was like, I just want David Hayter to be in this game. I was like, take that.
Here
he is.
But after that, like, I was really worried that they were gonna, that was the twist, because I'm so burned by Raiden. I was like, dude, don't tell me I'm going to look like a generic army dude for the rest. Please don't do this, Kojima. Let me play as Snake. Let me play as Big Boss.
Did
please.
One mission, because you can do ops as a base member.
Yeah, any base member you want.
Yeah, so I picked one of them just to do it, maybe get the achievement and switch up. And I happened to pick the one mission before another mission where you can't go to the helicopter and change anything.
Yeah.
So I had to play like two or three missions in a row.
Was this the base defense thing?
No, it was not. It was after that. It was a different one.
Oh, it's all right. Don't tell me about it.
It wasn't a big story mission. It's just
for whatever reason,
there was one mission and the only mission where they won't let you. You have nothing. You go into the mission with no equipment of any kind, and nor can you get any.
The one thing I played as one of the extra dudes from Mother Base one time, and it just put me off because it was. I don't think it was a story mission, but there was something about it. It was like, oh hey boss, how's it going, boss?
Yeah,
what's up,
when
big
you're
boss?
At the big.
I'm like, I'm just wearing a balaclava. Like, I don't even look like him. Like, I'm not boss. And I think there was some story beat in that mission where it's like, boss, we gotta have you get back to the base. Like, we need you to do something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not big boss. Like, I assume he just assumed nobody was gonna play as the extra guys. That's just
probably,
for, like, if
just,
you wanna mess
you know,
around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
a cool idea that they have it.
Yeah.
So
you touched on this, I think, last time we talked about Metal Gear, is that they always dance around Supernatural, but they never commit to it. This
so
has been
far,
the
it seems like
most
straight up supernatural.
Supernatural, like because and where I am in the game, they still haven't explained the Man on Fire.
Oh, okay.
What looks like some sort of relative to Psycho Mantis. I don't know.
I have a feeling. Yeah, they're gonna. I have a feeling you have more to go.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they just end the game and be like.
No,
I
think
know.
I think, and I was reading some stuff again based on what this game was and what people thought it was, and on paper, Skullface is the main picture villain of the game.
Yeah.
But Man on Fire has, I think, is more personal to Snake, and they work on that
it,
more.
Or they haven't said it yet, but he is Volgan. Like,
okay,
it's very clearly Volgan. I mean, you can see it's, and even thinking as from Big Boss's perspective, Volgan's kind of the main bad guy who.
So did they
kind
ever,
of ruined his life.
Did they explain how Volgan? I mean, where do you
it's
leave him
not,
last in Metal
really
Gear 3?
Volgan. I feel like the Man on Fire is like not a hallucination, but I feel like it's
that's
kind of like
how I
apparition.
Thought it was. But
where I think it's something physical, because I think both Ocelot and I don't know. Now that I think about it, I don't know if Miller ever saw it. No, Miller definitely has.
No,
seen
they
Man
comment
on, Fire.
On it a lot too when you're fighting
like, oh,
him.
There he is, like, oh, you got
to. Or
go
I try to Fulton recovery him.
Yeah,
and they're like.
Like, oh, no, we don't want that on
No, well, that's what, I think that's what Miller says. Miller's like, are you crazy? I don't want that on May. And then Ocelot's like, no, I want to find out who this man really is.
Yeah.
So he's definitely a real person. But, I mean,
well,
he's
connected to, I'm just going to call him Psychomantis because it looks exactly, it's got to be
the
Psychomantis.
The redhead girl?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy with
okay.
just red hair. But I think that has to be Psychomantis. And I think, like, the Man on Fire is connected to Psychomantis in some way, which makes me think that, like, maybe the Man on Fire looks different, but it's always just something. Like,
right.
Because, you know, it looks like Volgan to a Snake, because Snake has a history with Volgan, and that's kind of, him assassinating Volgan kind of ruined his life. Like, it set things in motion that I feel like he would just assume, like, that's not a positive part of his life. Like, he doesn't feel like a hero from, you know, Snake Eater or anything like that.
Right.
So. I mean, you know, that's speculation.
But it's in,
but.
So we'll just, Psychomantis, if you want to call it that, you know,
yeah,
him
yeah.
that, her that.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of weird tempting, torturing, or just bother, like,
yeah.
the, but not attacking Snake. Or maybe attacking him directly through the Man on Fire, but.
Yeah,
but
I'll put it this way. I've never had a problem with the Man on Fire like I have with the Skull Unit.
Right.
Because I don't like dealing with a Skull Unit. Like,
yeah,
I don't try to kill them. They're really hard to kill.
Oh, you can get away without killing them? Because I've killed them every time, but they take...
I never kill them.
Okay. So you can just escape?
They take a bunch. Yeah, the one mission where they fly out of the back of the truck...
Yeah.
I think
you have to.
I didn't kill anybody in the area, so I was literally surrounded by zombie guys, and then there was, like, five of those guys... and they're like, oh, well, still get the truck. I'm sure there's something still in the truck. I'm like, it was just Skull Guys. This was an ambush. Like, they're not really back there. Like, just let me get out of here and leave.
There is something in the truck, by the way.
Yeah, there is. I know. Okay. I got it. But, like, so what I ended up doing there, because I didn't assume, like, I didn't want to deal with fighting the skulls, because they're really hard. They just, like, swarm on you. They move really fast.
Yeah. There's probably a trick that I don't know about, but I had to use two supply drops to refill.
So what I did was I killed everybody in the surrounding village before I even got close to the truck. So there's nobody left alive. Like, everybody was dead or Fultoned. And so, like, nobody was around. And then I triggered the cutscene, so there's five of them. And then I started throwing the decoys, like the little inflatable snakes, trying to lead them away from the truck. And then I snuck all the way around, gave them, like, a really wide berth, Fultoned the truck, and then just, like, crawled away. And they never knew I was there.
Oh, wow.
And so I never had to deal with them, which I was very happy about, because... The Skull Unit's a really cool thing, but man, I hate messing with them. Like,
I mean, they're menacing, you know? It's like, the first time you run into them, you're... I have to fight them? What?
Yeah.
I mean, I have loved that about the bosses from this game. Mm. Every one of them has been, you know, innovative and, like,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm... They seem like they're so formidable. I don't want to do this, but... I have to, and I've overcome it, and it's like, oh, this is cool. I mean, I haven't felt that way from a game for a while. Normally, it's like, oh, here's a huge thing with a long health meter.
Well, I'll tell you, and I actually want to talk about the characters, but I feel like it deserves to be addressed, because I am that kind of person, and we'll talk about it after I talk about the boss fight. But the boss fight, like the encounter with Quiet at first, absolutely, I love that encounter.
I did too.
Because
I was struggling a little bit, but I was.
Yeah,
it was such a good atmosphere, such a perfect little arena for sniping.
Because there's all sorts of places where you hide. Because you know what it was like. I love the end fight in Metal Gear Solid when you're the sniper duel basically, and this just felt like that, but like fully realized. Like I never was struggling with the controls. I did what I wanted to do, and it was just so fun to be like, all right, she's over there. I know she's over there. She's got a bead on me, so I'm gonna run, dive into the next cover. And then sure enough, I do that, and she, like, takes a shot at me, but she misses because I dove out of the way at the last second.
Yeah.
It felt so good to be able to, like, run around and sneak around and, you know, get up to her. Because I took her out with a tranquilizer pistol because I didn't want to kill her, because I assumed if you killed her, you'd be able to get her.
See, I'm happy I didn't do that, but you don't kill her when you shoot her with it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
She's just eventually, like, for whatever reason, throws herself from wherever she is into the center, and then you can go and bolt and extract her.
But... The funny thing I learned, and they do explain it luckily, but I tranked her down like to like half health or something like that, and I lost track of her. And I'm like, where the hell is she? Like, I know she's around here. Like, she should be right here, but she's not here. And I noticed a little, like, rainbow, and I'm like,
oh, wow.
That's kind of cool. Like, that's, like, because I'm by the waterfall, so the mist is making a rainbow. And I heard, like, a little bit of music or something. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I go around, and I'm like, this is a trap or something. I bet you it's something. and she's standing in the middle of, like, the water, like, dancing and just, like, bathing in the sun and stuff like that.
Why didn't this because you tranquilized her? Is that, like, a reward
No, she was just, like, she was just standing in the middle of the lake, like rubbing water on herself and just, like,
this is after the fight? Sun.
No, this is during the fight. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I tranked her, and she immediately snapped out of it, and she ran away. And then
that's awesome.
She did it again, so I snuck up behind her, and I was going to CQC her. You can't CQC her. I thought that was going to be a way to win the fight immediately.
That's cool, though. This is a lot of what I love about the game. I love just talking about it.
But what it was, and they explain it, is the reason why she doesn't wear clothes is because...
That's how she breathes.
That's how she breathes, and she can put water on herself, and that's how she drinks, so she doesn't have to eat or speak.
And I was just kind of like... When they said that...
It's stupid.
Fine. I know, but we've already had conversations about Kojima and how, you know, his difficulty in treating a female character.
Yeah, because...
And, I mean, it's like, okay, he kind of must have had a meeting, like, we need to have a naked woman in this game.
Yeah.
That is a Metal Gear requirement.
Yeah.
They're like, but we need to justify it this time.
It's a real bummer because, like, I think she's a really good character, or she could have been made into, like, such a really good character because she's super confident. Super capable.
Her face,
her
like, I love how she speaks through her, like
she's
facial
got
expressions.
Very good facial expressions and stuff like
and
that.
And I mean, props to the Fox Engine because it's difficult to do that. But well, she thing, literally doesn't
seen,
speak. Her
I've
name
seen
is Quiet.
The woman, woman who plays her is a very beautiful woman. Obviously, because, you know, like, that's what Kojima does. And at first, I'm like, you know what? Maybe because Kojima said, like, oh, this isn't going to be pervy, it's going to be respectfully done. And I'm like, maybe that's right, but then the first thing that happens when you pick her up to put her on the helicopter is, like, you go into first-person mode, and you look down and, like, look at her boobs.
It's
like,
always centered on her chest. Like, every time there's a sequence.
Well, it's not always. Cause
no, sometimes it's centered on her crotch or her ass. Like,
yeah, because I was on the helicopter with her, and I was just going through the iDroid, and I see movement, and I'm not paying attention, and I'm like, wait. And I look through it, and it's just her, like, bending over, looking behind her shoulder, like, looking at me. I'm like, what is going on?
And then, like, the start of every mission, like, if you select her as a start, it's got that, like, huge jiggle effect.
Which is,
I mean, no one's complaining, but it's like, you know, when you're trying to...
I mean, that is, I'll admit it, like, I'm not, like, you know, I don't think it's sexy. I think she's, like, an attractive-looking woman, especially in real life, obviously, and they made her like that. But, like, I don't need that in the game, you know, like... I would have just preferred.
There
it
are games for it, and it's. I mean, I'm sure people would be like, "Why are these guys complaining about it?" No one's complaining.
No, I'm not complaining.
I mean,
about
it's
at all.
You know,
it's,
well rendered, and
I don't think it's, you know,
she's good looking, but when you you're like, and especially because she may or may not be a part of your mission, depending on if you select her as a buddy, and she's in the cutscene if you select her, and there's a lot of heavy-handed stuff in this game where you're you know, they're doing such a great job to build up your emotions.
Yeah,
and when there's a woman standing there with her shirt on.
Yeah,
like,
it's just kind of like,
you know,
need this, like, it's a good enough story that you don't need titillation.
And you're
kind of
like,
you just let it be, you know?
You know, I don't know which way to go now. Am I, hey, look at the naked woman, or am
that's
I like, hey,
yeah.
this guy just found a hospital full of dying children, and there's all kinds
like
of awfulness.
Child soldiers, and like, you know, because it's such a heavy topic, and then you're like, well, look at this hot chick. Don't you like this hot chick? And I'm like... I do, but that's not, you know,
like, I really,
I
mean,
hate it.
Like, I'm going to stand here and look at you a little longer, but there's these kids and they're dying, but,
like,
you know, all right, they can wait 5 minutes,
you
you're
stepped
right.
on the helicopter and your boobs are right in my face? All right, I guess I'll look right there, but it's like, you know, I don't need that, and I don't expect that, especially not from this game. Like, I'm fully, like, honest that I have played some really pervy games. Like, I don't know if you've ever played Senran Kagura. But it's,
no, but
it's
I have played Leisure Suit Larry and all those
it's
other...
It's worse than that.
Because it sounds Japanese, so
it's like
already...
It's like Dynasty Warriors, but you play as these very large-breasted women.
I've played Onichanpara.
It's worse than that, because as you fight the women, their clothes start falling off, and to beat one of the bosses, you have to fight them so much that they're either their top or their underpants or
I just
fall off
want
completely.
To be... on the brainstorming team of one of these games. Like, I just want to be a fly on the wall for a bunch of guys gathered around a big table with a whiteboard. They're like, all right,
big boobs.
Video game time. Where's our list?
Yeah.
And they're just bouncing ideas off each other. What if they're zombie fighters and their power comes from the blood of the zombies and it needs to get on their skin. And how does it get on their
they
skin?
They gotta wear bikinis.
Because they're not wearing clothes. And it's like, I love it. sold.
The point is, I'm not stuck up about this stuff. And I think, like, the creator of Senator Gagura is very closely, like, can I swear a little bit?
Sure, I mean, whatever. It's your store if you want to play. This is the only place we're going to play it.
Like,
when
I bought, like, the special edition of it because that's the only way they come physically, and I wanted a physical copy of it. And so I bought it, and there's, like, a really bad art book where it's like, look at these boobs. Oh, it's really good. But it's signed by the series creator, and he's like, oh, thank you so much for buying this product, blah, 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 blah. And as always, his sign-off is, he's like, tits are life, ass is hometown. And then he just signs his name. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, this is so stupid. It's the
best quote ever.
It's such a stupid game, but I actually like playing it because it's so over the top and ridiculous. Like, I can't help but laugh. Like, it's not sexy. It's hilarious.
Now, I've never played this, but I know. So, Record of Aggressor. Have you seen the box art for it?
I've heard the name.
So I worked at GameStop for a long time, and when that game came out, knew nothing about it. It wasn't on anybody's radar, nor should it have been, from what I understand. It's not just a tactics game. The game itself, like the gameplay, has nothing to do with sexy women or whatever.
Yeah.
But the box art, I mean, it's all it was looked like an anime porno.
Anything with anime on the cover always has, like, now, large breasts.
It came head. The collector's edition came with a mouse pad where the woman's, like, boobs were raised for, like, a gel insert. And the box art itself had just, like, them in, like, thongs. One of them was, like, eating an ice cream cone, and the ice cream was, like, vanilla ice cream and dripping on her in a very, you know, a non-imaginative way. And on the flip side of it, one of them was, like, you know, eating a chocolate-covered banana in a very unnecessary way.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this thing. At first, I spent a minute laughing and, you know, necking my game in the visor. I'm like, check this thing out. And then I was like, I really don't want to deal with the complaints from putting this thing on. So I, you know, emailed my DM. I was like, have you seen this thing yet? And he's like, no, I'm sure it's fine. If the company sent it to us, just put it on the shelf. I'm like, no way. I really don't think that this can go on. So he's like, I'll take a look at it and send you an email back.
Yeah.
In 2 seconds, there was an email, like, the whole district, please remove this game from that.
It
was just the special edition box
it's
art.
Not
the
about
actual
case. You're still selling it. You just aren't having it.
Yeah.
Out, right?
I mean, you have to realize, like, honestly, like, I don't need to hear from the moms, like, this, that's not the other thing. Like, that. And there's an argument to be made about leaving whatever on the shelf, but truthfully, I don't have the energy, and it's an easy enough solution to fix. But, yeah, that was
I mean, I think that's my biggest issue with it, is that, like, gaming and gaming culture is such a volatile thing where, you know, you have people who are saying, like, hey, this game is sexist, and then you have people going, like, it's not sexist, like, I'll kill you, I'll find where you live. And it's, like, such overreaction, so there's already a negative opinion of, like, people who are, like, way into games for some people. And then so you have these games, it's like, oh, they're gamers, just show them boobs on the cover and they'll buy it. And it's like, that's not why I play video games. Like, I want the story to be good and I want the game to be good.
Yeah.
If it's in there, I don't really care at the end of the day, but, like, I don't want the stereotype to be like, oh, look at all these, like, virgin nerds who just only care about, like, boobs and video games. It's like, I don't care. I don't want it. It's not necessary.
I think that it's starting to pull. I mean, there's still a divide, and it's taking a long time to do it. But the more people that, you know, you bump into in just day-to-day life that you find, you know, what classifies a gamer? How many games do you need to play to be called a gamer?
I think that's a big problem, too, is everybody's like, oh, you like and play
do you
Angry
wanna,
Birds. That means you're not
do you
want to
classify...
Like, well,
you know, every guy that plays Madden with his friend.
Yeah,
and that's all they play. And
casual,
they just, you know,
like,
you know, the police officer
really...
that comes home and plays Call of Duty for an hour or something. I mean, like, what classifies
a
gamer?
Like, 90 hours into an RPG. Like, what is a gamer? Like,
yeah. I mean, I know my brother-in-law plays Clash of Clans. Like, you wouldn't imagine. I mean, I couldn't imagine the time invested in this. Not so much of a console gamer anymore, but that's... I mean, and I know that's a whole other topic that people flame up about is mobile gaming. It's a video game. He's playing it, and he's spending a lot of time on it.
Look, man, I have put countless hours into RPGs. Like, I've done, like, the most gamery-ass gamer things. Like, I've played all the games that, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're not a real gamer, you play this. But for, like, the last 3 weeks, I've been addicted to a mobile game, like Adventure Capitalist, which is literally just pressing buttons and the numbers get bigger. It's the dumbest game ever, but I like it a lot, or I liked it a lot. I stopped playing it. But, like, you know, how does that mean I'm not a gamer because I like a mobile game? You know, like, I don't think it does.
Video games, to me, they're still, like, that's why I love doing this stuff and talking about them, even if, you know, people aren't watching
or
listening.
You know, to bring it back to Metal Gear, I think that's why I brought it quite up in the first place, is because... You and I may not have an issue with this, but there are people who do, and I think it's smart to address that because, you know, just because you think there's not a problem with this, or I think there's not a problem with this, which I don't necessarily think in this case, it's fine to admit that, yes, some people can see this and be like, I don't like this, like, I wish it was different.
What amazes me about, you know, that exact thing, and gamers, and the whole classification of the gamers, I've never met a group of people that are so hostile towards accepting others and growing their medium.
See, that's the thing, because a lot of them are always like, oh, you know, like, the
they're so protective, and I get why, because you have so much vested into everything.
They don't
everything
understand
that
what they're doing, because they're like, oh, the gaming community is so open, and we're so, like, loving, and we're so inclusive with each other, but it's like, anybody who seems to want to talk about games or negative things in games seems to get shut out, and I don't think that's a good way of going about it.
Right.
I think, you know, even if they, even if you think they're not right about what their opinions are, you can address that, and you can talk to them about it. Because at the end of the day, I want more people liking video games, because that's how new, interesting games get made.
More money gets put into the industry, more games get made, people make bigger chances making different games that we haven't played before.
There's a bigger market for
games. That's the other thing, you know, every time, even like a new VR, or whatever, anything new comes out, people are so quick to jump on. And they're going to be flops. I mean, but do we really want to be making that, like, communicating that to the people that are developing our hardware and our software is don't take a risk. Don't try something new, because, like, we're going to tear you apart.
Make Call of Duty, make Final Fantasy, make that. And that's what, you know, gamers want, and that's what gamers will get. That's what sells. Don't ever make
I always use this, like, just be realistically optimistic. Just try, I mean, you know,
I mean,
be...
try new things, because, you know, when the innovators, like, you know, going back to Metal Gear, a game like that could have failed horribly, because it's a weird game at the end of the day.
The mission structure is so separate from everything that we've seen from Metal Gear, at least, in the past.
And you know, I think Metal Gear Solid 5 in a lot of ways takes it safe, and in a lot of ways just is what Kojima wanted to do. But, you know, you need to do things like this. Like, you need to take weird chances. And a lot of people were like, I don't want Kojima dealing with very serious things like child soldiers and stuff like that. But so far, I think he's done it in a respectful way, where it's kind of, you know, this is a terrible thing that these kids are here, but now that they're in this life, can you really take them out of it? Like, can you ever really let them leave that behind, or are they going to, you know, fall back into it? And I haven't gotten that far, but, you know, when you get the child soldiers back, or when you get the children working in the diamond mine back, first of all, I thought Big Boss straight up shot him in the
cave. I did, too. I was like,
Because Miller even said, he's like, well, we can't really bring him back here. So he's like, all right, the tape's rolling. And then it just pans to him, and he pulls the trigger. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, this game just got really...
It just got
way too heavy for me. Like, I don't know if I can support this. And then it zooms out, and it turns out he's just making the tape so it sounds like he killed him.
Because I thought they were starting to transition him into the villain at that point, and I was like, there wasn't a transition. Dude, you just threw him off the deepest end you could have. Yeah, but then I was like, okay.
But they did it, and the thing is, they dealt with it respectfully, like, where he's getting these kids, and then he takes them back to base. And even Miller, who I think is kind of a jerk in this game.
Oh, yeah. Even Miller never agrees with you. Ocelot is always on your side.
Ocelot's your bro. Miller is always on your case about something. But, like, you know, Miller comes back, and he's like, oh, what's wrong, Miller? You don't like kids? He's like, I don't like kids with guns. And then so they kind of set it up. It's like, look.
But then he immediately kind of contradicts himself, though, and he's like, all right, let's get them set up, and let's get this. Which way are you going?
Well, because they kind of, like, Big Boss is like, look, he's natural with a gun. Like, we can't do anything about that. And then Miller's finally like, all right, look, we're going to separate him from general population. We're going to teach them language and stuff. We're going to set them up so they can do basic things in life. And I like that. I think that was, like, a smart way of them personally dealing with it. Yeah. Which it could have been like, let's just immediately use them to kill people. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's like, that would have been, like, kind of going off the deep end. And they might still go that direction, but I feel confident.
But they might show them grow into an adult, at least.
I feel confident that, like, you know, it's going to be done in a way that's not, like, tasteless. There's going to be some meaning to it.
I'm happy, like you said, though, that just the way that they address, because it's such a delicate topic.
Yeah.
And when I saw the kids in the game for the first time, it took a second. I was like, how many games do you actually see children in? Because it's such a... especially a violent game.
They're good.
But they're rendered. They're proportional, really nice, because kids are very difficult thing
they're more lanky, and they move like kids do, and they kind of act like children. And I'm like, that's
pretty good.
It's like,
well, it's probably motion capped like a bunch of kids or something.
It's sort of like Uncanny Valley, but it's good enough that I'm not, like, really put off by it. Because
the few times you do see children in games, it's like they took an adult rendered model and they just clicked the corner piece, you know, like you would on a window, and just dragged it down to make it smaller. Which is not how that works. But you said, it's believable. Everything about them makes you feel like they're kids, and it makes it even more heavy. When I was like so on the edge of my seat during that mission, I was like, even if I can restart, I don't want to see one of these kids get shot or something. Like, but I was like, I was on my best behavior. I was like, I'm going to sneak as slow as possible.
Well, I'll tell you, I did accidentally get the kid shot one time.
Did you?
Because it was in crossfire, because I got spotted by a helicopter.
Yeah. That.
And they don't, luckily they don't go gory with it. It's just literally like, oh, and they zoom into one of the kids and he's standing up like perfectly straight. It's like, oh, you failed. Like one of the kids got injured.
So they don't actually show it's something like, oh, bad happened.
Dead kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they had done that, that would have just been shocking and I would have thought that was kind of tasteless, which is.
But they do have, I mean, they have, when you go to get their leader during the Man on Fire mission, you know, he's on the table and he's infected and he's dying. And
that was a really sad scene. And I think
I think that was on that line.
Yeah.
But so careful not to cross it.
I mean, that's the kind of thing, because they even, I one of the things I really love about this game is that it exists in real life. And, like, you know, when they go to Afghanistan, they're like, oh, you know, the Mujahideen, America's supporting them, and they're fighting against the Russians. And then even when you get the Honeybee, it turns out to be a Stinger missile launcher, which was a big turning point in the war against Russia in Afghanistan, as we finally start supplying them with, like, Stinger missile launchers so they could take out, like, helicopters. But then, you know, at the same time, it's like, it does take place in Africa in the 80s, and there were some really unsavory things going on back then. And there still are, obviously. But, like, you know, there was a mission where I was sneaking through. I think it's the same mission where you get the leader of the little kids, and you go through one of the camps, and there's, like, all of a sudden I hear a musical cue, like, really sharp. I'm like, oh, God, did I get spotted? And I'm like, wait, no, what's going on? And I look down at my feet, and there's just a bunch of, like, burned-up corpses.
Yeah.
And that's,
that's
what was going on in Africa at the time. Like, there were, you know, there was political struggles, and innocent people were getting killed, and, like, horrible atrocities were happening. So it's addressing the horrible things and not just making it like, oh, we're having a fun time in this video game. We're in Africa in the 80s. It's like, no, dude, this is not.
Yeah.
You have to address it at least. And I don't think it's gross and it's very gory and shocking, but I don't think it ever really becomes like unsavory in the fact that, like, I don't want to look at it. Like,
yeah.
It's still really hard to look at in a lot of ways because, you know, the graphics being the way they are, it looks fairly realistic. But, you know, they deal with it in a way that is shocking, and it's like, Jesus Christ, like, this is so heavy, you know? Like, especially when you go into that room when they've got, like, the headphones in their necks.
In their throats,
just like covered with blood, and everybody's hooked up, and you're like, what is going on? Like, this is just so rough, you know? Like, it's just a shocking game, and that's kind of, like, but I enjoy that about it, but it's also
funny that that's kind of where, like, where we've transitioned in our conversation, because we started with how it was story lax, and... Yeah. You know, it's
still a lot.
When
too.
It comes hard, though.
Yeah.
And it draws you right back in, because I was feeling this. Anyway, I think we're going to start, because I could talk about this game forever, and I think so could you. We're going to try to keep it around the 1 hour mark.
Definitely, yeah.
And I'm sure, even though I said we're going to transition to other topics, this is inevitably going to come back up, because we're going to be playing this for a long
time. Well, I definitely think once I'm 100% sure I've beaten the game, I definitely want to do another talk like this, and then we're just going to try to dissect the plot and just try to talk about every little thing.
I will need to, because I'm going to need your help walking me through some of the stuff I've already seen or haven't seen. But I just, the way that you, like, the way that the content is presented in this game, I feel like it's so organic that you don't feel like you have to do the side missions. Yeah, I'm doing so many.
I love doing the side missions, and I can't say that about open world games, because I usually hate doing side stuff in open world games.
Hands down, my money's worth. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have asked for more, and there's still more coming.
Absolutely.
Like,
and just, like, because the thing is, at first I wasn't very good at sneaking around and, you know, like, taking over bases, but now I'm good at it to the point where even if things go bad, I feel comfortable in dealing with the situations that pop up. Because, if people start firing at me, I'm well-equipped. I have, you know, a rifle, and I've got, like, ways of dealing with it, and I can move around the environments, and, like, you know, I know how to manipulate things to the point where, even if things go bad, it still is a very fun game to do it. Like, there's no wrong way of playing the game.
No, yeah, I wouldn't be like,
blazing, you can.
Somebody told me, oh, I play it like a shooter. I've heard Metal Gear fans, too, go off on people before. Like, no, it's played. No, it is. If you want to play it like that,
you can.
Go for it.
If you really want to play it like that,
you know?
Can.
It's harder.
It is hard, especially near the beginning.
Yeah.
So I have one question for you, and this is kind of a weird one. let's say I've never played a Metal Gear game in my life, and all this hype about Metal Gear Solid 5, I want to play it. Do you think it's good enough that you can just play it with no background?
Good
and
question.
If you don't, how many games in the series do you think you have to play?
So, I think, so, and what that kind of even pushes me to is if I didn't recommend this one, which one would I recommend as, like, an entry point?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, if you didn't have any background to it, the only thing I would think might turn people off is the mission structure to it.
Yeah.
Where, at the same time, maybe it is a positive for them. But, I think this would probably be the best one to enter in at. Although it doesn't really lead you into the, although it does,
it's not a good entry into the
for the story because you'll just, I mean, you really won't know.
Yeah.
But I think that you would be introduced to the characters that you're gonna like, and the gameplay is so, because that was the deterrent from the previous ones. Is first of all,
it's,
when they came out, it was
it's
new.
A steep learning curve. Yeah.
You know, sneaking in a game was not. It was the contrary to what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And. So it was a steep learning curve, and the controls weren't nearly as refined as
they
are.
They weren't, no.
So
they were rough.
It was very easy for people to get deterred. I think this is, you know, even if you're a shooter fan, you'll start the game shooting, and you're inherently going to lead yourself into sneaking. I think that I would still hands down be like, yeah, you need to try this game. I'm sure I'd have people coming back to me being like, what did you recommend? This wasn't cool.
See,
but
I think if you are adamant on playing the game, feel free to play the game. Because I think it's the gameplay is so fantastic that it's a great game. Even if you don't know what's going on at all, it's still fun to get out and do the missions. But I think if you want to get the full enjoyment, I've kind of narrowed it down. I think if you want to get the absolute full enjoyment of the game, you need to play Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 3, watch the Peace Walker movie on YouTube. It's like a 3-hour long cut of like all the scenes, and then play Ground Zeroes. And then I think that's more than enough.
Ground
to
Zeroes,
get the story.
I think, is required.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
Well, it's so short, too.
It is.
But,
I mean, I was just thinking, because I wanted to let my cousin borrow this game when I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Because he loves Hitman games.
Yeah.
And he's played a Metal Gear in the past. He loves sneaking
games
where he has to be very precise. I think this is right up his alley.
Yeah.
But I was like, I got to get him Ground Zeroes first, because otherwise it's a very sharp start to the game.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, okay, I think I... You know, that quick 2-hour Ground Zeroes, or even shorter, just gives you everything you need to know to jump in.
It kind of gives you a primer,
I
will say, Fan of Pain does a really good job of giving you a tutorial without letting it feel like a tutorial.
Yes, it does.
And I'm that might be one of the things I'm most impressed with, because it uses the story to kind of slowly introduce you to new things, where it's like, oh, you can't move. Get a feel for moving the camera around. Get a feel for moving around a little bit. We're gonna take it slow. And then you get up and you can move a little faster. And then it's like, all right, here's how you do cover. Here's how you do this. Here's how you change stances. And it happens in like a natural way, to a point where I don't think I've ever seen a game that has a better tutorial without being like
it's a tutorial.
Right, press X. Now you can crouch.
Or like the parody of it in Far Cry Blood Dragon or something, where they're literally like, you can't move until you do what we...
Yeah, crouch now. And all right, now reload your gun. Yeah. It's like, let this happen naturally.
Yeah,
like,
there's going to be a point where I need to reload my gun.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make an effort to tie us up here.
Yep.
I'm going to
finish
on, because we've spent a lot of time talking about, obviously, what we love.
Yeah.
Both of us not being done with it, what do you still want out of it?
Yeah.
Or what did you wish? Like, what do you want either still to come or would rather have in the game?
I wish there was more things to do at Mother Base physically, because it's a big place.
Agreed.
And there's not really anything going on there. Apparently you can enter buildings now, and I didn't know that until this morning. Other than that, I guess there's still a little bit of things that like I feel like could be refined.
It's hard to answer without knowing what you're not going to get because you haven't finished the game. But like, still, even because I don't know.
I basically want them to set it up. I want to know why Big Boss...
Yeah.
Like, I want to know why the hell Solid Snake... I want to know why Big Boss sent Solid Snake in to kill Big Boss in a weird way in Metal Gear 1.
Yeah.
Which, hopefully they explain. Don't tell me if they do or not, because I want to...
Well, I don't
know
yet. Because I still have... So that's what I'm still really wanting. I want Big Boss... I mean, he still hasn't, in my mind, been developed as much as this game was promising.
Yeah.
Being the last Kojima game for the Metal Gear series, supposedly... I mean, we know that it is, but, like, he's still, like, all of the stuff that I've done in this game, I still need to know more from this character. And he doesn't need to speak for that to happen, because I know that it's that's a big part of the story, is that he's just...
Yeah.
But I need to see this transition a little bit more definite than the classic Metal Gear elusive.
Well, I want to say that's what the super secret hidden cut ending kind of addresses. Because I think, and this is a worst case scenario, I might be wrong, and I kind of hope I'm wrong, but if not, it's not a huge deal. From what I understand, Konami has said, like, oh no, we're not out of the games business, we're going to make another Metal Gear without Kojima. We've already hired people to start making it. It's like, don't do it, dude. If you want to get out of the games, leave Metal Gear alone, because I don't think you're going to be able to make it. I could be wrong. I could eat my hat.
It would never have that flair.
It's never going to have the same flair, I don't think. Because without Kojima there, it's not going to work.
It's just a weird special sauce that
It might be a good game. Don't get me wrong.
I'm sure mechanically. All you have to do is take the Fox Engine as they have it and copy and paste. But then it's just the good game that we were talking about that you don't need the story for.
And I want to say that's the reason why maybe there was the cut ending, is because Konami wanted to leave it open for sequels. Yeah, yeah. But I think as long as that's available for the public to actually watch, because I think it's just cutscenes, I don't think it's anything special. So I think as long as that's there, I'll be happy, and if I can see that, and if it works, then I'm fine with it. Yeah. But, you know, so I'm happy with the game. Even if it ends on, like, a really bad note, I still really love playing the game. So...
So I
guess that's the takeaway.
All right, that's kind of where I'm at, too. That's basically my main still wish and want.
Yep.
And, you know, I just, otherwise I couldn't have asked for really more. I didn't know what I wanted, but I'm pretty sure I got it.
Yeah.
So.
It wasn't what I was expecting, but it's incredible.
I'm happy to be surprised, because I thought I knew what I was getting with a Metal Gear game, and I'm just happy he took a risk and changed it up on us.
Even though I knew it was going to be open world, I never really realized how the open world was going to work, and it worked in a better way than I ever expected.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Well, so far, it gets a thumbs up.
Thumbs up from Mike and Mike.
Yep.
We got to go back to our wall of games, because we didn't do that for the last one. But so thank you for listening. Please subscribe.
Would be on the wall of games.
Well, we'll revisit it. We'll bring it back up. Yeah. Just, you know, please follow us both on gameclubs.org and on YouTube, and Podomatic,
we're everywhere.
iTunes. I'm trying to get us, you know. And just let us know how you're liking this.
Without a nation.
That's right.
Everywhere.
And then a quick touch base. So again, want to thank Retro Games Blast for letting us use. And looking forward to the Retro World Expo, October 3rd. We will be there.
Yep.
I
won't be. I got to work here. But you will be there.
I will be there.
Yes.
We will have a presence. We will have a booth. Come say hi. Yep. Come sign up. And tell us what you're liking.
Signing autographs.
Oh, yeah.
Signing booths.
No, and we're also going to do a pretty cool modern take on our version of the Nintendo, you know, championship little game tournament across several games.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun. We'll have some prizes.
Yeah, so, definitely.
All right. Thank you all.
Yeah. Until next time.
Until next time.
Yeah.